4th of July, and as we celebrate America's freedom, it's a great time to take stock of your own financial freedom, that is. Hi, I'm Rob West. Are you resolving to become financially independent or falling under the bondage of money? It's one or the other. Either you control your money or your money controls you. Today, I'll help you decide which path you're on. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so what exactly is true financial freedom? Well, it means you have choices, options. When you have control over money, you have a greater ability to decide where and how you live. In some cases, even where you work and how much you work. Financial freedom also enables you to be more generous. Folks often say they'd love to give more to God's kingdom, but they just can't afford to. The more you control the money flowing through your household, the more generous you can be. That's financial freedom. Now, how do you know which path you're on? Well, obviously, the biggest signpost on the road to financial bondage is debt. The greater your debt, the less free you are. Proverbs 22:7 says it all. The borrower is slave to the lender. That's because when you're in debt, you're really working for someone else, not yourself. And not God. The more you have to pay out each month to service your debt, the less freedom you have to use that money in other ways, like serving God more fully. Now, unfortunately, debt is just one form of financial bondage. There's another form that's more difficult to recognize. You may not have any debt at all. In fact, you can be rolling in money and still be a slave to it. That's the mindset that material things will make you happy and content. But when you think that way, the more you acquire, the more restricted you become. Things come to own you, not the other way around. At some point, you may start to realize that money isn't freeing you. It's enslaving you and keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. In fact, although the Bible doesn't say there's anything inherently wrong with wealth, it has clear warnings about our attitude toward wealth. It comes down to a heart issue. First, you think so much about money that you have no peace with God. Your focus is day to day rather than the eternal. Another sign that might be easier to spot is that you can't give as generously as you would like or think you should. An opportunity comes along to be more generous, maybe even to give sacrificially, but you just can't make yourself do it. You think, I might need that money for something else, so you don't act when you feel God leading you. Now, we've probably all experienced that at some point. It doesn't mean we're all in financial bondage. It's not unusual to occasionally want to give more than you can, but it becomes financial bondage when it happens to you over and over and begins to weigh on your heart. God is trying to tell you something. Now, here's another danger sign, a lack of contentment. You always want bigger, better, faster. You're not content with God's provision. You crave more. When you think that way, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It'll never be enough. And here are more tangible outward signs of financial bondage. You might constantly argue with your spouse about money. Most couples disagree about money occasionally, but when it becomes a habit, well, it's a sign that money is controlling you. Another outward sign relates back to debt. If you don't pay off your credit card balance in full each month, you're in financial bondage. That might make a lot of folks uncomfortable because they're carrying a balance on one or more credit cards, but there's really no escaping it. The bigger your credit card debt, the more you're in financial bondage. Now, what can you do about it? Well, obviously, you can stop charging things, get on a budget, and start paying down your debt. We have coaches that can help you do that at MoneyWise.org. You can also download the free MoneyWise app. It has three different ways to set up a budget, so there's something for everyone. But if you have the other form of bondage, with plenty of money and possessions but no peace, try giving more. Giving actually breaks the power that money can have over us. And keep in mind, underlying all of God's financial principles is His desire that we remain free to serve Him. Our founders often look to the Bible for inspiration, and God's Word is found on one of our greatest symbols of freedom, The Liberty Bell is inscribed with Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. So those are some things to remember as we celebrate freedom today. God's desire for you is to be financially free and to be able to live or die, give or go. So you lean into that, explore the scriptures and see what God has for you as you hold everything loosely with an open hand. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, at soundmindinvesting.org.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. We're going to begin in Gettysburg, PA. JD, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
It's good to hear from you. What I really wanted to ask you was the best way that I'm a young self-employed person, 30 years old, just wondering how I can build my credit and save up the best way to go from renting to owning my own property. It's really a big goal of mine.
Yeah, I imagine it is, JD, and I would love to help you think through that. You know, we're in a really challenging housing market right now. Obviously, we've seen incredibly significant rises in home prices. That's continuing this year, although there's some signs that that's cooling a bit just in the wake of higher interest rates and increasing inflation and some other challenging situations that we've got going on. But the real driver of that, the increase in home prices, was a lack of inventory, and that largely continues. We're several million homes shy of what's needed for the demand for the millennials that are moving into the suburbs, folks that are moving out of high-density areas into more suburban areas because they have the ability to work remotely now post-pandemic. We've just got a number of drivers that are keeping this housing market strong. And because of that lack of inventory, JD, rent prices are elevated as well, which makes it increasingly frustrating that, you know, you're not building any equity as you send that large rent payment every month. So I can understand that, combined with starting a family, you and your wife having the blessing of a new child on the way, want to be able to get into your home. The challenge is you don't want to rush that, in the sense that as much as I'd love for you to be in a home, you would love to have something that you can call your own. A mistake would be to get ahead of yourself, try to buy something prematurely where you're not ready for it financially, and then pay the price either with too big a housing payment that's going to really hinder you from doing anything else and put strain on, you know, not only your budget, but perhaps even your marriage. But also just the fact that, you know, you could end up being upside down if this housing market were to take a dip. So I think the starting point, we'll talk about the credit, but just in terms of the housing price and when you'll be ready for a home purchase, I think the key for you is to determine kind of, one, what the budget looks like. And as a rule of thumb, I would say try to target a mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance of no more than 25% of your take-home pay. In this environment, if you have to stretch to 30%, I would say that's absolutely the top end. But I would target 25%. I realize that may be challenging. And so that's why it's really important alongside that you save for a down payment. I'd love for you to put 20% down on whatever home you buy. So that means you buy a $200,000 home, you got to have a $40,000 down payment. That's going to do a couple of things. Make sure that you go in with a good equity. Secondly, it's going to try to keep your mortgage payment as low as possible because you've saved, and therefore the mortgage payment is less because the loan balance is less. And then thirdly, it's going to further reduce your expenses by not having private mortgage insurance, PMI, which would come into play if you have a mortgage with less than 20% equity. And that's not an expense that does anything for you. It's for the protection of the lender. So I think for that reason, you're going to really want to determine how much mortgage payment can I afford so that it's not going to put a strain on the rest of my finances. And then two, how much margin do I have every month so that I can build up that 20% down payment? And once you run through that math exercise, you realize how long it's going to take you to get there and what you can actually afford. That would allow you then to start doing some due diligence in terms of the neighborhoods, the homes that you would be able to buy to meet those objectives and criteria that would also still give you something that meets your needs as a growing family and a location that is going to work for you. But before we deal with the credit issues, what have you been able to put aside? Is there any down payment savings that you've been able to amass at this point?
I did have a good bit saved up, but I recently just purchased a vehicle for my business. I upgraded from a small pickup to a larger pickup that was a four-door, so I could haul everybody around. My savings is down a little bit right now. Definitely nowhere close to 20%. I'm around probably $1,500 right now, but like I said, I'm self-employed, so I can save up pretty quick. Yeah. You know, I can get that up into the double digits pretty fast usually.
Yeah.
But
very good.
So right now it's a little low, and Kelsey, my fiance, is actually working a pretty good job. She's a supervisor, so she's able to save as well. So I would say within maybe 1 to 2 years, we could be around that goal of 20% possibly.
Okay. Yeah. You know. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think, you know, despite the fact that you made this investment in your business, I suspect that will pay off as you have what you need to run the business, carry your employees or contractors around. As much as you might like to have a home sooner rather than later, I think you'll be glad that you waited. I think you're right. Keep your expenses low, both on the business and the personal side, so you can save as much as you can. You all stay laser focused on just trusting the Lord in your new upcoming marriage. Just focusing on preparing your minds and hearts for what God has for you in this next season, and really stay focused on living within your means so you don't amass any debt. And you'll have that home sooner rather than later. Make it a matter of prayer, JD, as well, because I think the Lord will provide just what you need at just the right time. Thanks for your call today. God bless you guys. To Ohio we go. Michelle, thanks for calling today. How can I help you?
Hi, yes, sir. I was just curious about my 401k. I keep reading a lot about people that should have 10% or 10 times their gross income, what they make a year in their 401k.
Yeah.
I currently only have $14,000 in my 401k, and I am 46 years old. So I'm wondering, how do I build this 401k up and have that kind of money?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's a rule of thumb. Second of all, most people don't ever achieve that. So don't feel bad if you can't get there. I mean, by 50, the rule of thumb would say you need 6 times your pay. And then by retirement, 10 times. And the idea behind that is if you take that amount of money, 10 times your income at 4% a year, you're probably only going to end up with about half of what your pre-retirement income was in income from that portfolio. The other, you know, roughly half or close to it should come from Social Security. And those two together are going to allow you to live on, you know, what most people see is about 80% of their pre-retirement income. But if you can't get there, that's okay. You just need to have a budget that balances. What if you live to age 95? Are you going to outlive your money? And you've just got to kind of work through all of that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we're on a really good plan right now about really saving and budgeting everything.
That's great.
And we only have maybe 5 more years on our house. So we have that pretty much paid down as well.
Okay. Good. Well, I mean, that's key. If you can be debt-free by the time you reach retirement, you know, that's really going to take a major expense off the table.
Okay, so that's my goal, to be debt-free once we hit retirement.
That would be a great goal, yes.
Okay.
And then the other is to have a plan for how, you know, what is your expenses going to look like minus your debt, because that's going to be gone, and then how much do you need to save in order to cover that?
Okay. All right,
All right, thanks
for
your call. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
We're delighted you're spending some time with us here at MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Back to the phones we go. Ernst is in Palm Beach, Florida. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, here is my situation. In 2 years, I'm going to retire. I'm a school teacher, and I'm in job. That is a program for 5 years, where after 5 years, you can... there will be a lump sum of the money that they put aside for you. So it's going to be around $100K.
Yes.
You understand that will be taxable. So is they told me also there is a way to put it in some other type of investment so you don't have to pay the tax up front. So do you know any of those things that I can roll it in and not having to pay that tax up front and collect monthly payments after retirement?
Yes. You can roll your drop plan over into a tax-deferred environment and keep the taxes from being realized at that point. Is that what you're looking to do, just to roll it out and then allow it to continue to grow at that point?
And collect monthly payments from it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what you would do there is essentially you would just recognize the tax as you draw the money out as income from the IRA. So you'd have the ability to roll that out. And then at that point, you would begin to take a monthly distribution. What is the amount of the rollover that you'll have, or the drop accumulation?
It's going to be 105.
Okay. And how much are you looking to pull out on a monthly basis?
1500.
Okay. Yeah. The challenge is, I would be looking for you to pull only around 4% a year, which is around 4,200 a year. On a monthly basis, that's only $350. If you're looking to pull out $1,500 a month, you're talking $18,000 a year. So that's real, north of 10%, which is a pretty significant withdrawal rate. So you just need to recognize, Ernst, that this money is going to be declining each year, and that eventually you will deplete it. So I think the key for you is, if there's any way to supplement your retirement income, perhaps working part-time, anything you can do to reduce that withdrawal rate down to much closer to, $400 a month instead of $1,500, it's just going to prolong your ability to hang on to this retirement savings and not see it dwindle away. Because if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, this money could need to last a long, long time. And I'm afraid it's going to run out sooner than you might want it to. Does that make sense?
It does. But on top of that, I'll be collecting Social Security and pension.
Okay. All right. And when you factor in Social Security and the pension, would you still need $1,500 a month from the drop plan?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I think the key for you is to really target, that to roughly $400 a month at a maximum. Obviously, if through your pension and Social Security, you don't need it, that's great. But I would try to limit your withdrawals to no more than that. The other thing I would mention to you, Ernst, is I would connect with an investment advisor, somebody who can help you, not only counsel you in terms of how that gets transferred, but then how it's invested once it gets moved over to the IRA, so that you can have a portfolio that's focused on capital preservation, but also generating the income that you need. I wouldn't try to go it alone on that. I mean, you've spent a long time accumulating this money, so having an investment professional making these decisions for you, I think you'd go a long way toward preserving what you have and growing it at a reasonable rate. If you don't have an advisor, I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in South Florida, and our website, moneywise.org. Just click Find a CKA, and it should give you what you need. But we appreciate you checking in with us today, sir. God bless you. Let's see. To Ohio we go. WCRF. Is it Ruthie?
Hi. My question is, unfortunately, 11 years ago, I walked away from my home because I had lost my job and I couldn't afford to keep it up any longer. I had to relocate. I filed bankruptcy, lost everything, been through a divorce and everything. And I don't know what's going on with that house right now. However, I received a phone call a few days ago from some home buyers that wanted to know if I wanted to sell that property. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on with the property. Heard anything from the county or city or whomever.
Yeah.
Since I got back, what to expect or how to follow up with that.
Yes. Did you have a mortgage on that property?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the status of that? Have they, obviously they reclaimed the property. I suspect that they sold it in an auction, and maybe the person you're being contacted by is misunderstood in terms of who actually owns the property. Because if you had a mortgage on that property and you walked away from it, depending on how long it's been, they have likely sold that off and used the proceeds to satisfy the mortgage. So the first question I would have is you could check with the county deed office just to see kind of who this home is titled to. And then you could also check with your mortgage company just to find out what the status is. You could also have a real estate attorney take a look at this as well. But I suspect, there may even be a deficiency balance there that is still owed, even if the property was sold, in the event that they were not able to get enough out to satisfy the mortgage. So I think you need to do a little due diligence before you make any next steps, just to find out the status of that property and find out where it is at this point. Hopefully you're in a much better position today financially. I think the key is just to make sure you live within your means and try to trust God for his provision. We appreciate your call today. Once again, this is a recorded program, so phone lines are not open today. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I mentioned the effects of inflation, the U.S. inflation rate at 8.2%. Keep in mind the Fed's target for inflation, 2%. So needless to say, we are significantly higher, and that means higher prices for goods and services. The average family feeling that to the tune of about $450 a month in increased expenses. And that is a big deal, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. So I think the key for you is to, number one, go back to that spending plan, look for any opportunities to trim the budget so we can live within our means. The last thing we want is to come out the other side of this as things moderate, prices decline, and we revert back to a 2% inflation, Lord willing, in the next couple of years. The key will be we don't want a bunch of credit card debt to show for it. So what can you do about that? Well, again, it starts with the family budget. We've got to have a good handle on what we're spending. We've got to look for places to cut back. Here's another idea or two some folks are using successfully. Number one is try to take a day a week where you don't spend anything. You have a moratorium on spending, which just means you don't go to the convenience store that day. You don't shop online. Perhaps you skip that coffee you would have picked up otherwise. I think another opportunity is perhaps using an incognito browser. Why would you do that? Well, when you're shopping online, not only does it delete your history, your browsing history, but that means, number one, you won't have those ads popping up with things that you were looking at that might entice you when you passed on it a second time around to maybe reconsider your purchase and actually go through with it. The other is, if they know that you're looking for a specific item, sometimes prices are automatically increased based on your number of clicks. So that's another factor to consider as you're thinking about whether or not you want to use a browser that tracks your moves online. If you're considering a major appliance, look for scratch and dent items or floor models. Ask for a discount. It never hurts. Use the 30-day rule, buying anything over $100, which simply says if you're going to buy something over $100, you wait, you write it down, you put it on the fridge door, and after a month, if you still want it and you can afford it, make the purchase. Odds are that your interest will have waned by then. Also, look for ways to just cut back by canceling online subscriptions, app subscriptions. Try to sign up for paperless billing or auto bill pay, and many of providers like utilities will offer discounts. discounts if you do that. So I think this is a time where we need to be really focused on dialing back our expenses and getting creative about how we do that. Keep in mind, we are managers of God's money, and that means we have a high calling as we think about stewarding the resources God has entrusted to us. All right, let's head back to the phone. Spokane, Washington is where Brian's located. Brian, you're up next. Go right ahead.
Thanks. So the situation is my wife's grandmother recently passed away and is in heaven now, which is fantastic. And as they're settling up the estate, it's going to be split five ways amongst all of her kids. So my wife's mother is one of those. My wife's mother is intending to pass half of her portion of the estate directly on to us. And so I was just curious what the best route was to go about doing all of that. To avoid any sort of tax implication, whether it's for her to pass it, to do a pass through, or to have the estate sent directly to us, or what?
Yeah. So, is your wife actually inheriting the property, or her mom is, and then she's going to receive it as a gift from her mom?
Neither. So that the property is being sold, so that then the proceeds are divided five ways amongst all of the grandmother's kids.
Okay. Well, you see, once if the property was held in the estate, the cost basis was reset as of the date of death. So unless there's appreciation between the date of death and the time that it was sold, there's not going to be any kind of tax implications for that. And then that money can then be passed on as an inheritance tax-free. There is no inheritance tax to go along with that. So that money should come to her without really any tax implications.
Okay, and then if she in turn takes half of what she receives and passes it on to us, do we have any tax implications on that?
You don't, because then at that point it's a gift, and she can, you know, make a gift for the annual gift exclusion that for this year is sitting at $16,000. So if she's married, she and her husband could gift to your wife $32,000 as an individual. She could gift the $16,000, and then anything above that $32,000 would just go against the lifetime gift exclusion, which right now is sitting at just above $12 million before any taxes are generated. So although a gift tax form would need to be filled out and filed with the IRS, there wouldn't be any taxes due. It would just go against that lifetime exclusion of over $12 million.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much. I appreciate the help.
You're welcome, Brian. We appreciate you checking in with us. God bless you, sir. To Deerfield Beach, Florida, Dermot, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. My question is, yes, I have a condo that it's my dwelling place, and it has a value based on the market right now of about $220,000. I owe $120,000 on it. I am at a 6% interest rate, and I am thinking I would like to refinance and take some equity out of it to put in a safer place due to the expected volatility of the market. I'm wondering if that is a good thing.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand here. So you've got a condo. What is the value of that condo, Dermot?
Based on prices now $220,000.
$220,000. What do you owe on it?
$120,000.
So you have $100,000 in equity, and you've got an interest rate, you said, of around 6%. Is that right?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
All right, and how many years do you have left on that mortgage?
16 years.
All right. And if you refinanced it, which I'm not saying is a good idea, but let's say you did, and you cashed out some of that $100,000 in equity, what would you do with it?
I would want to put it in a safer situation, because I have experience. I've seen where the last time the market crashed and the value went down to about half of what it was at purchase.
You're talking about the housing market collapsing?
Yes, the housing market.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, Dermot. You know, I don't think we're in a situation. First of all, we didn't see that kind of decline even in 2008 when there was real systemic problems in our financial system. You know, we had people getting loans that should have never gotten loans. The lending standards were all out of whack. There was real problems. We don't have any of that going on today. The standards are much more stringent. The reason the housing market is elevated like it is a significant limited supply of homes. We're about 3 million homes short of the real demand today. So if anything, I see the housing market leveling off, not declining, certainly not any kind of precipitous decline. And for you to take equity out and pay money on it, you know, borrow money essentially against your home and pay 5.5%, which is where interest rates are now, it just doesn't make any sense to me. When you're going to stick it in the bank and earn 1%, you'll be underwater every month. The other thing is, it doesn't make sense to refi if you can't save at least a point in your interest rate, and you can't do that with a 6% interest rate. Let's talk more off the air, and we'll be right back.
I've got a book I've been working on for some years now. It's called Sweet Land of Liberty: Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I think it really is an important response to the critical race theory nonsense and all of this racial demagoguery that has risen up like a cult.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Listen to the French accent that she puts on when talking to these guys.
We campaign with the plan.
The plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Kato. Kato, you feel.
Just doing a French accent.
Does your dog bite?
The plane.
That too.
All right. That's enough Kamala Harris reporting.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Your kids are grown, and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're delighted you're taking a few minutes to join us today with your calls and questions. However, today our team is away from the studio. We're not here, so don't call in, but we did line up some great questions in advance. So let's head right back to the phones. We'll head next to Miami, Florida. Grace, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 61 years old. And I'm still working, and I'm looking for some guidance with my finances. I have a 401k plan, and I do have some checking account. That's all I have.
Okay.
I don't have any savings apart from the 401k.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay, so you're wondering kind of how are you doing, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. How much is in that 401k? Okay, that's good.
Well, I lost quite a few because I have everything on stocks.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah. Which I think I need to move the money, do some changes there, but I really don't know how to do it.
Sure.
I do have about $620,000.
Okay. And what was it, 3 months ago?
It was probably around $800.
Okay. All right. And how long do you plan to continue to work, Grace?
That's another question that I need to answer myself. But to be honest, I really don't want to wait until 67.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. As you think about what your expenses would be in that season, once you retire, do you have a sense of what you would need to cover your monthly lifestyle spending per, you know, on a monthly basis?
Well, my house is paid off. My car is paid off. I
Great.
Really don't have much, expenses. Probably I would say $1,000, $1,500, a month.
Okay, great. And obviously you'll be collecting Social Security at some point, whether you wait till full retirement age or if you take that early, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I would hope that you'd be able to cover all of your monthly expenses through Social Security. The good news is that, you know, if you stay the course on these investments, whether you get slightly more conservative or you just kind of let this ride, knowing that this will recover in time and, you know, you need to take a long-term focus, you know, perhaps you are a little too aggressive. You know, if your time horizon is 3 to 5 years, then I would say you shouldn't necessarily have been in all stocks, but hindsight's 20/20. And the good news is you probably made a lot of money over the last several years and even, you know, the years before that. I realize you're down and so you've got a paper loss here. So the question would be, does it make sense for you to go ahead and reposition now, knowing that your time horizon probably doesn't match your investment strategy, but you would lock in some of those losses, but that would give you a downside protection against a market that continues to fall over the balance of this year and into next year if we hit a recession, versus just kind of riding this out. Do you have an advisor who's making the decisions with you or for you, or are you doing this all yourself?
I don't. I don't have an advisor, and that's what I'm looking for. And I also, like I mentioned before, I do have a checking account, and I have not much, but considerably amount of money in that account, and I want to know what to do with it because it's just dormant in there.
Yeah. How much do you have in the checking?
$170,000.
Okay. Yeah. And so we probably need to put a portion of that to work because you've obviously, you know, accumulated quite a bit there. So you would be really, I think, well positioned, Grace, to sit with an advisor who could really help you put a plan together over for the next 3 to 5 years. And then somebody who you could build a relationship with and build trust with so that when you're ready to retire, this money could be rolled out to an IRA and you'd have somebody that could manage all of these assets for you to protect them, but also to grow them modestly so that if you need it down the road for long-term care or medical expenses or whatever you might need, that you'd have the resources you need to fall back on. So I would reach out. If you don't have somebody in mind, you could go to our website, moneywise.org, and click Find a CKA. I'd interview 2 or 3, find the one that's the best fit. What they would do is, number one, do some retirement planning with you to help make sure that you're thinking about what you need to be doing between now and retirement. Number two, they could evaluate the investments that you're in inside your 401k. And even though you would have to be the one to make the changes, they could look over the options and help you decide, should you stay with what you have? Or if you're too risky, how should you, you know, begin to make some perhaps tweaks to bring a little bit more conservative approach to these investments? I think beyond that, it would be important to look at what could be done with this excess accumulation that you have in your checking, because that could be deployed into some safer investments as well. At the very least, it could be put into laddered CDs or something that's going to give you, you know, maybe 2 or 3% a year instead of nothing. But it all is going to start with you spending some time with an advisor who can really help you think through all of this. So if you're open to that, I'd head to our website again, moneywise.org, click Find a CKA, and that would at least get you pointed in the right direction with some trusted advisors. Okay?
Okay. One last question, Rob.
Yes.
Will I be looking for a financial planner or an investment advisor?
Yeah, you're really looking for an investment advisor, but many of them offer financial planning as well because you really need both. You need somebody who can do a financial plan for you to make sure what risk you need to offset, meaning what insurance policies you need at this point, also your investment strategy, and even a cash flow analysis. So that's the planning side, but the big need that you have right now is on the investment side.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much for your advice.
You're welcome, Grace. God bless you, and we appreciate your call. To Wichita, Kansas, Jason, thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really am not sure where else to turn, I just learned that my dad was talking to someone on social media, and they directed him to this cryptocurrency site, and they were able to get some information out of him that I'm afraid they may use for identity theft, and the investment site, the cryptocurrency site that I'm looking at here, it looks like it gets like a 1.5 out of 100 for reputable sites. And so I'm just, we're scared, and we just need some direction on, like, if we should report it to the FBI, or if if we should be getting new driver's licenses, new phone numbers, or, just exactly kind of, what direction we should, what steps to take from here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that can be concerning. And obviously there are a number of scammers that are cashing in on the crypto craze. I think the first step would be to try to get out of this. And the most common way to cash out of a cryptocurrency is through an exchange site like Coinbase or one of the others. Users go to the exchange site to purchase the coins and exchange out of it. So that would be one way to go. In terms of reporting this, if you're reading online reviews that there, folks believe this is a scam, then there might be some legitimacy to that. The place to go would be the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. They actually have, if you just Google it, Federal Trade Commission, cryptocurrency fraud, you'll find where you can report fraud at reportfraud.ftc.gov. To get that process started. They also have some helpful articles about what to know about cryptocurrency scams and what to do about it. So I would begin reading up on that with the Federal Trade Commission. You could go ahead and report the situation, and then at the same time start to initiate the process of liquidating these positions to see if you can get out, which will, make it very plain whether or not this is legitimate or not. In the event that there is some identity theft behind this, there is some really helpful guides about identity theft on the FTC site as well. That really is the source about how to deal with identity theft. So I would begin there, FTC.gov, Jason, and begin to read up on this. You can report there as well. They'll give you the steps on what you need to do. And then at the same time, see if you can take steps to liquidate it. In the event you can, obviously you can get out of it and move on. In terms of protecting yourself, again, the FTC's site will be a great resource, but it's going to involve things like, putting a fraud alert on your credit report. He's probably going to want to put freeze the credit reports, change passwords. I mean, there's going to be a number of steps to take there if you believe that something is going on that's unscrupulous.
Okay. Yeah, that helps a lot.
Good. Well, let us know how it turns out. Certainly, I hate to hear what you're going through, but I think this will at least get you pointed in the right direction. And Jason, we appreciate your call very much, sir. God bless you. Folks, before we finish today, let me take a quick email. We often don't have time to get to emails. And so we've got one that just came in recently, questions@moneywise.org. Jenny writes, what is your perspective on old unpaid debt that's fallen off your credit report? Do we have to pay it off if it's already forgiven by the creditor? And I would just say, Jenny, yeah, I would really be focused on paying that off regardless of whether it's still on the credit report. Proverbs 3:27 comes to mind. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So we need to make good on our obligations, regardless of whether it's still on a credit report or not. It may not be easy for you to get the balance if it's been charged off or sold off. So you need to chase down who owns the debt, and then perhaps you can negotiate to make a settlement in full. If you do that, Make sure you get that in writing before you write anybody a check, and then get confirmation that the debt has been paid. Jenny, we appreciate you checking in with us today. If you have a question, you can send it to us at questions@moneywise.org. Well, we're going to have to end it there. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thank you to all the wonderful people who make this program possible, and thank you for being here as well. We'll look forward to having you back tomorrow. God bless you.